Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. He deserves every bit of the praise that we can give him. I want to echo something that Greg said earlier. You know, I've known people that went to church all their lives. I've known them to go to church all their lives and never even knew what Jesus was all about. Never even knew it. And you're sitting back here thinking, well, how can that be? It can be. It's because they do not truly understand what this is about and that it's not a fairy tale. I'll tell you this morning, and I'm just going to be as truthful as I can be with you. If you die and go out of this world without Jesus in your life, you are lost and you are going to hell. You're going to a devil's hell is where you're going. And it doesn't make no difference how good of a person you are. It doesn't make no difference how if you paid your tithes. It doesn't make no difference of any of that stuff. What makes a difference is if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Praise His name this morning. I'm going to be over in Matthew, the 27th chapter. And by the way, it's only 10:30. I've got till noon. That's what the clock says. It hasn't been changed yet again. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to anybody. Matthew 27. I'm going to read a couple of verses, the 27th and the 28th verse. When you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word again, please. Let's read it together. Matthew 27, 27 through and 28. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning again, Lord, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise you for what you do for us, Lord. I want to thank you for what's been mentioned here, Father. I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for the spirit that we feel, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for all the prayers that you answer. I want to thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, we just give you the praise for that this morning. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to be with this congregation, open up the hearts and minds, Father. I pray that the anointing would be upon my lips this morning, Father. And we'll give you the praise for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Praise the Lord this morning. How many of you have ever heard the saying that... Let me see how this goes. That the clothes make a man. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that. You know, I've heard that down through years, that the clothes make a man. I've come to find out that's not always the case. I'm going to be honest with you because I've met quite a few people that the clothes didn't help them a bit. And I've met quite a few people where the clothes that they were wearing may have been old and shaggy and ragged, but praise God, they were on fire for the Lord and they knew what they were talking about. And I just thank God. But I'm going to talk about Jesus this morning. I'm here to tell you this morning the clothes do make the man. And I'm going to be talking about the robes of Christ this morning. Greg had mentioned this a little bit ago in his teaching. I thought, I'll just about praise the Lord right there, man. I'll tell you what. Because I like, again, I'll tell it to you over and over, I like justification. I like to be, you know, just have that assurance of what you're getting ready to preach about. Now, I want to say this morning. I'm going to be in a couple other verses. I'm going to be over in Mark here in a minute and John, but I'm going to read those here in just a second. So bear with me. I believe God's word is true, and I say that quite a bit, and I will stand upon that statement. God's sovereign, God's word is sovereign. Amen? Everything in here. God is sovereign over every detail of this Bible. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that. He is sovereign over every detail of this Bible. This Bible is not full of mistakes and all the other kind of stuff that they try to lay out there. God's word is sovereign. Now, I'm going to read two other scriptures to you. Now, remember this. They stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. Turn to Mark 15. Mark 15, we're going to read a couple of verses there, the 16th and the 18th verse. Mark 15, 16 and 18, then we're going to go to John. Mark 15, 16 and 18. Okay, here we go. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and platted a crown of thorns, put it upon his head. All right. Now turn to John 19:2. We'll just start with the first verse. John 19:1. Say amen when you're there. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. There's one other place I'm going to read later, but it's called a glorious robe over there, and I'll get to that here in a little bit. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about something. I want you to know, first off, I want to tell you that I am colorblind. And I know I probably have told people that in here before. And the reason, I understand whenever people say that somebody is colorblind, because I am colorblind to a certain extent over some things. Some have suggested that these different writers of this Bible were colorblind because of what they've seen. They've seen a scarlet robe, they've seen a purple robe, and the glorious robe, you know what that translates out to be? White. So here we go. Some would say that, and they would say two or three of them were colorblind and all this kind of stuff. No, I do not believe that there were three different accounts. I do not believe that these three different accounts of the color of that robe are a mistake. And I'm going to get to the point of what I'm talking about here in a little bit. I do not think that. I do not think that they were colorblind. I do not think that they were put in there because somebody said that something different was going on. Some will say that one of them had mistaken, that it was a mistake. It was not a mistake. I've done read to you what I feel. I believe this word of God is true. It is faithful. There is no mistakes. I do not believe that they made a mistake. Number one, if you go back and look at the translation, and I've got a point. I'm going to get to the sermon here in a minute. We're talking about the scarlet robe. Do you know how that they made red back in that day? They took insect eggs, the larvae of them, and they would grind them up, and that's how that they made red. How they made purple was whenever they took mollusk, and they would get these mollusks, and that's how they would get the purple out of them. When you read the accounts of this right here in the Bible, that's how they used it. That's how they stated it. Each writer said that. That's how they translated it. Because I believe if we take a closer look at that, the three different colored robes tell three different stories. I believe that they put three different colored robes on Jesus at three different times. And there was a reason why they did it. It is because that the Bible is trying to make a point. It is trying to get across to these people what this was about. Listen, because they had the Old Testament before them. And the Jews would look upon these events, and they could see what was going on. And as they looked upon these events and as they looked and seen what was going on, they were there to tell that they were supposed to understand, listen, what each one of these robes are significant about. And I'm going to tell you what they are. It even goes back to the Old Testament. We've got scripture we can back it up with. What it's about and why they did what they did. Because they had the Old Testament. They had the Torah. They were foretold of the coming Messiah. Can I tell you something this morning? I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming back. It has been foretold. If you're sitting here this morning and you do not believe that he's coming back one day, I'm here to tell you, you're going to be fooled. These people back there knew that he was the Messiah and that the Messiah was coming. The Jews knew that. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is coming back. But here they were as Jesus walked before them and they were taking part in the crucifixion, so blinded by evil, so blinded by the darkness that was in their lives that they could not even see what was right before them. They could not see it. It's no different than today. How many preachers have stood behind pulpits down through the years and preached that there is no other way under heaven whereby a man must be saved than through Jesus Christ? They have offered salvation through the messages, through the teaching, through different things down through the years. But people are so blinded, they are so hard-headed, they are so, like Greg said, they do not want to humble themselves. They come to the point that they do not want to do that, to come to an altar to be saved or to accept Jesus as their Savior. And can I tell you something this morning? You do not have to be at this altar to be saved. I got saved outside of the church, out in a breezeway at the church, and I can take you to the church where I got saved. I wasn't in the church when I got saved, but praise God, I know I got saved. I know the Spirit of God come into me. I've told you the story of my friend who has passed away now, who got saved up at Union Carbide at the plant. It's now Elkham up there in Marietta, down in a pit when he's working on a pump. And he'd been just come out of revival, and God was working on him. And he got down there in his gum boots in the water and got saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved, but you got to be saved. They could not even see what's in front of them. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There's a lot of blind people out there today. There's a lot of blind people that do not want to see that Jesus Christ is what is the Messiah. He is their Savior. They do not want to see it. And as they looked upon him hanging on that cross, listen to me, scripture about the Messiah should have been screaming at them. And you're saying, the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. Have you ever given this thought? And as I looked about it, and God had showed me this week, if you go back to Genesis 3, 17 and 19, and what this says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat of the herbs of the field. Brothers, when they placed the crown of thorns on his head, they should have realized back then that symbolized the fall of man and what was going to take place. They should have realized that. But when Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They knew Psalms 22. The people that were standing before him that day, watching him be crucified, they knew Psalms 22. And they knew whenever Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They should have understood what was going on. They should have. But they were so blinded that they could not see it. The Jews standing, but they were blinded by religion. Folks, there's lots of people blinded by religion today. Am I right? Even after his resurrections, and we know this story here, when he was walking along the road to Emmaus, remember, and the two that walked with him, and Jesus, and they were talking, and then he said unto them, remember that he talked to them about, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Here it is, the resurrected Lord walking with them, talking with them, and they had no idea. Listen, folks, it is no different than what it is today. And I keep saying that. I'll keep repeating that. This is not Grimm's fairy tale. This is the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sits on the right hand of God. He is true. He is alive and well today. He has been resurrected from the dead. And praise God, we believe that as Christians today. That is what our faith is based on. And that brings me back to the collar of these robes. That is being presented to them. Listen, what should have screamed to them whenever they seen these robes was about the Messiah. Went right over their heads, didn't understand it. And I'm fair to say, for years, I never really dug into it as much as I should have either. But those robes mean something. Every one of them mean something, and it should mean something to us because their hearts were so full of malice. Their hearts were so full of hatred for the Messiah that they couldn't even see what was right before them. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that just kind of disturbed me whenever God had showed me this week. They thought that purple robe, they thought that scarlet robe, they thought that white robe, they thought that crown of thorns, they thought that reed that they'd put in his hand, they thought that sign that they had put above his head were all there to mock him. But can I tell you this morning, they didn't realize that every one of those things spoke to the glory of God and spoke to the glory of the Son of God. Every one of them did. Praise His name this morning. I'll tell you, I thank God when we look at that cross, brother said, that is the glory of the Son of God right there. That is the glory. They didn't realize all those things. What they meant for evil, God had meant it for His glory. Without even knowing that they were fulfilling prophecy. Without even knowing that they were telling, each one of those things were telling the story of the Messiah. They were unknowingly and they were unwittingly telling the story before a watching world. And can I tell you this morning, praise God, I'm up here this morning to tell you the story before a lost and a dying world that Jesus still saves today. The same way that He saved me back the years ago that He saved me. The same way that He saved you here today. Praise God, He's still saved. It is a miracle the way Jesus Christ saved my soul. It is a miracle the way Jesus saved your soul. It is a miracle beyond belief. You want to talk about miracles? The greatest miracle ever performed by Jesus is when He saved lost and a dying soul from going to hell. The greatest miracle. He is the one worthy. Listen, I know He and He alone is the blameless one. He alone is the blameless one, Jesus Christ. He, the only one worthy to wear a white robe. Do you know that? And the Scripture bears it out. He's the only one that's worthy at that time to wear it. He and He alone is the blameless one. He is the one worthy to carry the sins of the world. God counts Him as guilty one, and He counts the born again as the not guilty ones. Did you know that? He put Him on that cross, and He counted Him as the guilty one. And by Him dying on that cross, we are the ones that are not guilty. Amen. That is what grace is about. That's what it's about. Praise His name this morning. What does white represent? White represents a purity about it, right? That's what white represents. Praise His name. Thus, God counts Him as guilty, the guilty one, and He counts us as born again as the righteous. Thus, the scarlet robe. Do you know that? And He is the King of kings and He is the Lord of lords, the only one who has been given all authority. Jesus is the only one to be given all authority. And why? He wore the purple robe. The three robes not only should have spoken to them, more importantly to everyone sitting here this morning. If you really want to dig into it, I encourage you to dig into those robes and what they represent and what they represented. First off, let's look at the scarlet robe. When the Jews saw this, they knew what it took to get their collar scarlet. And I just told you a little bit earlier how they went about the collar. That collar was extracted from insect eggs, is how it was done. They took that collar out. And that's what they would use to put on these different clothes whenever they turned them that red, that scarlet. And once it was put into clothing, get this, it was almost impossible to get out. Did you know that? When it was put into clothing, I say the ultimate word there is almost impossible to get out. Folks, I believe that all those looking on Jesus as He was wearing the scarlet robe knew Isaiah 1:18. And Isaiah 1:18 says this, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God was saying, you know how hard it is to get scarlet out of clothing? Do you know how hard it is this morning to get sin out of an individual's life whenever it has left an indelible mark on their lives? It takes Jesus Christ to get it out of there. And praise His name this morning. Whenever He gets the stain of sin out of your life, He will make you as white as snow. Praise His name this morning. That should excite all of us. He doesn't just half save us. He doesn't just partially save us. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you are saved, you are born again and you are fit for the kingdom of heaven this morning. Praise his name. If they didn't look upon that scarlet robe whenever they looked at it and could not think of Isaiah and how Isaiah said this, that though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white. God is saying, you know how hard it is. Once it's in, but God goes on to say, though your sins be that way, he said, there's no stains left.
Amen.
Praise his name this morning. I know when I got saved. I know when I got saved and I got up out of there, Joyce, I knew it.
Amen.
I knew it. There was no doubt in my mind I was saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You may not agree with this. You may not. If you got saved one time and you got doubt whether you were saved, you weren't saved. Whenever Jesus does the work is done. You'll be saved. You'll know that you are. You know that you're born again. You know that the Spirit of God dwells in your heart, dwells in your body. There's no doubt. If there's a doubt in your mind this morning, this altar should be full this morning. Because I want to say, God, no stains whatsoever. There was no stains left. Praise his name. The old Henson song. Who could take a black heart, wash it in red blood, and make it as white as snow? Praise God, that's only Jesus can do that. Psalms 103, 10 and 12. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Can I tell you something this morning? There isn't a one of us in here that has been dealt with the way that we should be dealt with. I don't care if you think you're a good person or not. There's not a person in here that has not been dealt with the way that you should truly have been dealt with. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. If you're saved, you should be shouting down the house this morning. He doesn't remember what happened to you, what happened before the blood was applied. He wants to know what's going on now that the blood has been applied. Praise his name this morning. It's so easy. Now, here we go. How many of you know in here white's difficult to wear? How many in here know that? White is difficult to wear. I'll tell you why I know. I got a real good shirt that I like down at the house, and I got a stain on that thing. Just wasn't too long after I went and got one just exactly like it, so I got two of them down there. One of them's stained and one of them's not. But I'm here to tell you, listen, that one that was stained, me and Tink tried to get that stain out of that shirt. No matter what we did, you still see the remnants of that stain. Am I right? White's hard to wear sometimes. White picks up about a lot of different things, does it not? It'll stain easy. But can I tell you this morning, whenever Jesus saved me, there wasn't even a remnant that was left in there. Praise his name this morning. Praise his name. White is so easy to be marred. Listen, we all know. We all know. It doesn't work because you can still see the remnant of sin sometimes. That's the point of the color white. White is pure. Amen? White is pure. Unknowingly, Herod put a white robe on him. A glorious robe is what it said, but it translates out to white. He put a white robe on him because Herod was thinking he wanted to see miracles from Jesus. Remember? We called him in. I want to see these miracles from Jesus. Jesus didn't want to do it that way. So he tried to make it out that Jesus was some righteous, self-righteous person. And he put this robe on him, this white robe on him, to send him back to Pilate. What's the tradition of the... what does it mean when I say white's pure? What is the tradition of... Why does a bride wear a white robe? Why? Because it's supposed to be purity. It's supposed to be virginity. Right? That's why you're supposed to wear a white robe. That's what it's about. The white robe in Luke 23:11. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. That's what he did. Translated gorgeous means a splendid white robe. They wanted to make an example of him. They wanted to try to make it, not knowing all the time that while they were doing this, they were actually fulfilling the scripture. Because there's only one that is pure. There's only one that was worthy to be called the Son of God. Herod had put this on him because, like I said, he refused to perform miracles in front of him. So does the scripture bear this out? Luke 9:29. And as he prayed, this is a different example. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistening. Remember whenever he says the Mount Transfiguration? Mark 9:3, and his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, as no fuller on earth can whiten them. Daniel 7:9. I beheld till the thorns were cast down and the ancients of days did sup, whose garment was white as snow. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame and his wheel was burning fire. Brothers, if those people standing before there, they knew Daniel. They knew the book of Daniel. Yes, they did. They'd heard it. And brother said, if they did not understand what white meant, it meant purity, that he was dressed that way. That shame on them. Brothers, today for us, shame on us if we don't understand that today. As purity as he is. Revelation 3:18, I canceled thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment. Thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Revelation 4:4, and around and about the throne were 40 and 20 seats. Upon them, the seats saw I 24 elders, sitting, clothed in white raiment, and that they had their heads and crowns of gold. Revelation 7:9, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, and no man could number, all the nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Revelation 7:13 and 14. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Hence they come. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they that came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, he was the one worthy of that white robe back then. Praise God, one day we are going to be worthy of white robes. Amen. That's what there is so much into this. If you dig deep into it, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Amen. You may be thinking, I'm too bad. I could never be forgiven. I'm telling you, I hope you're not sitting here thinking that. I hope that you're not, because I believe Matthew 27:28. I believe that, and they stripped him and put on that scarlet robe. I believe Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I believe John 1:17, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son, cleanses us from all sins. Yes, that scarlet robe means that the same thing that did then that it does today. That scarlet robe means that he is the one that took upon the sins of the world. It's his blood that took upon this. His blood can cleanse us from all sin. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's what that scarlet robe means. That's what it means. That's what it takes. I mean, that scarlet robe that they put upon him, whether they knew it or not, they were telling the world and those in front of him that, listen, even though your sins may be darkened in your life, praise God, he can take the sin out of your life. The next day, the purple robe. It has a great meaning, especially to all of us today, does it not? Look at John 19:2. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. You know what the purple means? It means the royalty. That's what it means. And they were putting it up there to mock him. They put the purple robe on him, stood him out before the people, maybe before Barabbas, and said, which one do you want? You want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? And of course, they wanted to release Barabbas. And here they were. Here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords standing before them, thinking that they're mocking him. They're not mocking him. They're actually telling what's going to happen here one of these days. Amen? John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3:2, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who was he talking about? He was talking about Jesus coming on the scene. That's exactly what he was talking about. Revelation 17, 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and are faithful. Who are they that are with him? You born again here this morning? Revelation 19:6, and he said, and he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 5:13, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Praise God. He is the King of Kings. They put that purple robe on him, like I said, to mock him. Praise God. He is my king today. And I hope he's your king today. I don't answer to nothing other than my Bible and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And if it doesn't go along with that, we don't answer to that. Amen. I'm here to tell you that that's the way that it is. But praise God, one day he's coming to set it up for eternity here on this earth. Praise his name this morning. I tell you what, I thank God that, you know what? They may have did it for mockery. They were doing what was meant to be done. I like Revelation 21. I believe Jamie preached from this here a while back. And I use this at funerals all the time. But I like this. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, these words are true and faithful. I know there's not a one of us in here that hasn't watched this Ukraine situation he's down through this last week, and how painful and how hurtful just seeing mothers crying because their babies have been killed. Seeing I could go into all different scenarios. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, listen, my Bible tells me that it will wax worse and worse. I'm going to keep repeating that. In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. It will get worse, and it will get worse, and it will get worse. Diseases are coming upon this planet that will get worse and worse and worse. There are going to be different things that's coming upon this planet. The Bible, I can bear this out. The Bible says it. And if you can't see it, you're not wanting to see what's going on. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not the point of it. The point of it is, be ready. Amen. When you see these things, the Bible tells me, those are the beginning of sorrows. Those are the beginning of them. Earthquakes in different places. Famines. Those are the beginning of things. I'm here to tell you, Revelation 21 is a whole different ballgame. They talk about one world order. They talk about one world order, one world leader. Don't you remember when God took care of that back over to Tower of Babel? He didn't want that to happen then. He doesn't want it to happen today, so don't let nobody talk you into that today. The only world leader that's going to be doing any good is when Jesus comes back to set it up for himself. That's the world leader we're looking for. Yes. I believe there were three different colored robes. I do believe that. And each one of them has a significant meaning, not only for those people back then, they have a significant meaning for us today. We have a white robe up here, you know, a white sash, whatever you want to call it. I'm just here to tell you, brothers and sisters, praise God this morning that we serve one that has all this under control. I'm thankful for all of you here this morning. Did I lose you? I hope not. I hope not. I want you to go home and study that. Study the three robes. Study them. See what you get out of that. I tell you, clothes do make a man. That man. That man. Praise his name this morning. Belinda, come get a song if you wouldn't care, please.